This is a tape of the Grane slides in Module 2. You should be on page 16. On page 16, they start talking about finite automata. And first they're going to do an example, which also shows kind of an application of finite automata. And they're going to do a protocol for e-commerce using e-money. So here are the allowed events. The customer can pay the store, which means they can send the money file to the store somehow. The customer can cancel the money, like putting a stop on a check. The store can ship the goods to the customer. The store can redeem the money, which they probably do before step three. The bank can transfer the money to the store, if that's where it landed from the customer. So here's the protocol for each of these participants. First thing we see is the protocol for the store. So someplace there's a start that's denoted by A here. And if the customer pays, then we get to state B. And if the store redeems that, we can get to state D. And then they can either ship or they can transfer and also ship. If we go down a little further, we'll see the protocol for the customer. And customer can either pay or cancel. And the protocol for the bank, bank can cancel or the bank can redeem, and the bank, after it's redeemed, can also transfer. So the completed protocols are shown here on slide 18. For the store, we can see how they can pay or cancel all the way along here. Same for the customer. Okay, they can redeem, transfer, pay, cancel, and the same for the bank, all the protocols that exist. So, if we were to create on slide 19 a protocol for this entire system, it would look like what you see on slide 19. And that's about it for that. I don't think we want to look at all those states. With that as a little bit of a background, we're going to give a formal definition of what a deterministic finite automaton is, denoted by DFA. A DFA is a five-tuple, a quintuple, consisting of a set Q of states, these are finite, an alphabet, sigma, these are going to be the input symbols for the finite automaton, it's also finite. Delta is a transition function. Given a state and an input, it will take us to a new state. We need a place to start, that's Q0, it's called the start state, and we need some place that indicates that we've gotten to an accepting condition, and that's a set of final states, and it's a subset of all the set of states. So on slide 21, we have an example. We want an automaton that will accept the language that has any number of zeros or ones at the beginning, and any number of zeros or ones at the end, including none, by the way, but somewhere in the middle, it has at least one occurrence of the sequence 0, 1. So we can do this with three states. Now, you're probably going to wonder where this finite automaton came from. Just think of it as coming out of the sky. If you played around with it for a while, you probably would come up with the same finite automaton. And you can do it with three states. Q0 will be the start state. And if I'm going to look at it on the graph part. They showed in a table first, and then they show the transition diagram, which is a graph, which is sometimes easy to see what's going on, so we're going to look at that. So we have the start state. Now, as long as we have a 1 input, so if we get 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, we just stay in the start state, because remember, we're looking for a 0 followed by a 1. But the minute we get a 0, that indicates that we may be on our way to finding a 0, 1. So we go to state Q2. if we keep having zeros, we're going to stay in state Q2 because we're really looking for a 1. As soon as we see the 1, we're going to go on to this state Q1, which is going to be a final state because we wouldn't have gotten there unless we had seen a 0 followed by a 1. And notice once we get into state Q1, we can still have more inputs, zeros or ones. We found what we needed to find, a 0, 1, so we stay in this final state. So, we're going to say that a finite automaton accepts a string W equal to A1, A2, up to AN if there is a path in the transition diagram that begins at the start state, ends at an accepting state, and has a sequence of labels, which are the string. You have to use up all the string and end up in a final state. So that finite automaton we had before will accept the string 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. It'll end in, this is not the same finite automaton that we had before because it doesn't have the loop on Q2. This has to end in a 0, 1, not just have a 0, 1 in the middle somewhere. On slide 23, they talk about a sequence of transitions. So the transition function delta can be extended to delta hat that operates on states and strings, which is a sequence of symbols, rather than on a single symbol. And they are going to do this with what I would like to call a recursive definition. They have a place to start, and they say that delta hat of Q with input the empty string is just that state. In other words, if you don't read any input, you stay in the state you're in. Where it says induction, I would really like it to say recursion, because this is the state, this is the step that recurses. And it says that delta hat of Q on an input string of X followed by the symbol A is just delta, and we presume we know what delta is, of delta hat of Q with just the X. That ought to give us some state. And then the outer delta will operate on that with the A. Okay, so then we can formally say that the language accepted by a finite automaton is something that will take us with a string W from an initial state Q0 to some final state. So it's the set of all W such that delta hat starting in state Q0, consuming all of W, leaves us in a final state. The languages accepted by finite automata are exactly the languages called regular languages. So here's an example on slide 24. It's a DFA accepting all and only strings with an even number of zeros and an even number of ones. So you might want to turn this off for a minute and stare at this for a couple of seconds. It uses state Q0 and Q1 for the ones. It uses state Q0 and Q2 for the zeros. You can see how you go from these states that are looking at ones to the states looking at zeros. Okay, if we put this in a table, Q0 is the start state, and it's also the final state. So you'll see a little arrow and a star on page 24 on the table version of this. Then there's this great example that comes from page 53 of the Hopcroft, Motwani, and Ullman textbook. It's a game, a marble rolling toy, and the idea is that you're going to roll a marble beginning either in entrance A or in entrance B. And these are little levers down here. So if I roll a marble into A, it will go down the left and out to C. But in the process of doing that, it's going to flip that lever X1 so that the next time I put a marble in, it's going to go down and go to the right. Still going to end up at C because nothing will have gone in to flip X2. So every time a marble hits one of these levers, it flips it from the left to the right or from the right to the left. And I think the goal of this game is to get to D, all the different ways you can get to D. So we're going to represent a state here on slide 26 as a sequence of 3 bits, that's those 3 levers, followed by an R, which means we're not going to get to D, we're going to reject the string, or an A means we are going to get to D, we're going to accept the string. So if you think about it, 010A means that the marble went down to the left, but it flipped X1 to the right. So if it goes down to the right, the 1, it'll go to the right, and then it'll go to the left, followed by the A, means that it's accepted. Okay. So all these possible combinations are listed in this table. And again, you might stop the tape, just convince yourself what these things are. 000A is a final state, and so forth. And then, you know, actually play with this. I think it's kind of interesting. All right. Well, on the tape, I managed to just move myself back again, so I've got to get back to the right page on the slides, and I'm scrolling them all by me. Hope you're all having a good time with this. Here we go, the marble rolling toy. Probably best to read about that if you happen to have that text. Okay, now we're going to look at a different form of a finite automaton. Now, the previous finite automata we looked at, if I'm in a state and I process an input symbol, I can only go to one other state. So now we're going to look at finite automata where I'm going to have more than one choice from a state on the same input symbol. These are not very practical finite automata. On the other hand, they're very easy to make. So a non-deterministic finite automata can be in several states at once, or viewed another way, you can guess which state to go to next. So here's an example of a finite automaton. If you look at it, this is the same as the finite automaton, well, accepts the same strings as before that end in 0, 1. However, when I'm in state Q0, I can either stay in state Q0, or on seeing 0, or I can go to state Q1. Okay? So here's what happens when the NFA processes the input 0, 1. If I stay in state 00101, if I stay in state Q0, with the 0, and then move on to state Q0 with the 0, and then on to state Q0 with the 1, and then on to state Q1 with the 0, and finally on to state Q2 with the 1, I will get to Q2 in a nice way. But if I started out in state Q0 and looked at that first 0 and went immediately to state Q1, I'd be stuck. Okay, so that's the non-determinism. Kind of means there is a route that will get us from the initial state to the final state, or there may be a route, but there may be lots of dead ends, too. All right, so formally, a NFA is also a 5-tuple set of states, finite alphabet. The only difference here is that the transition function, instead of taking a state and an input symbol and giving you another state back, will go to a number of states. So it's a transition function from Q cross sigma to subsets of Q. You can have more than one state. We saw that in the example that was above. Start state, final states are still the same. All right, so the NFA from the previous slide looks like this, Q0, Q1, Q2, and then they're just listing out all the parts and showing it in table form. And you can see that subset thing from state Q0 to 0, I can go to a set consisting of Q0 and Q1. All right, we can have an extended transition function delta hat here. This is going to be a little more complicated because we're going to subsets. So delta hat of Q on epsilon is just the same as it was before, state Q. Delta hat of Q with a string followed by a symbol A is now going to be the union of all the possible deltas we could have had from delta hat QX. So you just union them all together. And they're going to compute delta hat for Q0, 00101. Now this is actually in the book. I would recommend, if you want to follow this through, to take delta hat of Q0 and do it for the string 001 first, because it'll be a lot faster. And if you look in the text, see if I can find what page that's actually on. You can check to see if what you're doing is correct. Yeah, it's in the text on page 58 and 59, if you have the Hopcroft and Motwani text. And again, the language accepted are the strings that get us to final states. Now there's going to be some formal stuff here, and I may actually skip over some of the gory details right here. Let's prove formally that the NFA accepts the language ending in 01. Okay, and they're actually going to do that on induction. What they're going to do is they've got three statements here, and they think those three statements are good enough to say that it accepts the language X01. My problem with this for students is that, like, where would you come up with these three statements? All right, take the three statements they've given you, and then you might try to follow the induction through. They are going to do the induction on one piece of it, I forget, and they do more of it in the text if you want to take a look at it. So, yeah, they do it. And you might try to do that out. Wish I had a blackboard and I would actually do this out for you. Turns out, when you go to slide 33, that if you have an NFA, which is really kind of a nuisance, because how could you write a computer program on an NFA? You're in a state and you've got a new input, and based on no other information, you can go to one or more, you can go to more than one state. That doesn't make any sense at all. So it turns out that any NFA you have can be converted into a DFA. The reason we have NFAs is sometimes easier to create them when we're trying to figure out what kind of an automaton accepts a language, but we can easily convert it to a DFA. So there on slide 33, they're going to change an NFA into a DFA, and I'm going to recommend that you skip what they're doing there and go all the way to slide 37, where instead of using all the possible subsets, you start off in state Q0 and you put a set brace around the possible set you can get to. They're going to do that here, I think. I certainly hope so. Oh, they just do it in a picture. They don't do it. And then you use those new sets to get the other sets. So on slide 37, if I start off in Q0, I don't want to look at all the possible subsets of Q0, Q1, Q2, because from state Q0 on a 0, I can only get to Q0, Q1. And from state Q0 on a 1, I can only get back to Q0. I only created one new state. That's the new state you have to put in your table to start looking to see where the next state is. So from state Q0, Q1, on a 0, I come back to the same state. On a 1, I do get to a new state. It's called Q0, Q2. But on a 0, it takes me back to a state I already have, and on a 1, it takes me back to a state I already have. So you can do these things much faster if you start out from state Q0 and you only copy down in your table the states you can get to, reachable states. Then on page 38, they have the theorem that proves that the language of the deterministic automaton you're creating is the same language as the non-deterministic one you started with. You should read through this proof. I'm not going to put it all on the tape here, because I'd just be reading off the thing. And they actually divided this into things. On page 41, they do tell you that in the very worst case, if you had an NFA and you had N plus 1, now this plus 1 comes from state Q0, you could possibly end up with a DFA that had all of the possible subsets. Doesn't usually happen. Okay, so moving along to slide 43, there's one more type of indeterminism, and it's a very useful one for starting off, but then it's something we want to get rid of. It's called an epsilon NFA, and what it does is it allows you to transition from one state to another without reading any input symbols, so they usually label it with an epsilon. So they're going to show an example of an epsilon NFA that accepts decimal numbers. Okay, so these decimal numbers could begin with nothing or a plus or a minus sign. So they could be signed or unsigned. And then followed by a string of digits, then followed by a decimal point, and another string of digits. Let's see, one of the strings, two and four, are optional. So you either need a string before the decimal point or a string after the decimal point, but not both. Let's take a look at the atomic to see if that's actually true. So I start off in state Q0, and I can either have nothing or I can have a plus or a minus. As long as I have the digits 0 through 9, I stay in state Q1. As soon as I get a decimal point, I go to state Q2. The way this is written, and I can have any one of zero, any of the digits 0 to 1 that stays, and I have to have one, that takes me to state Q3, where I could just go straight on to state Q5, or I could have some more digits. The same if I got to Q1 and all I had was a decimal point, so I didn't have any digits before I do have digits before the decimal point. That's the one that goes down. Then I don't have to have any digits after the decimal point. I can follow it. Okay, so going across is the situation where you might not have any digits before the decimal point, and when you go down and back up, you might not have any digits after the decimal point. But eventually you get to state Q5. All right, and there was an epsilon transition there at the beginning. Here's another example. What they've done is they've put together two finite automata, one that accepts the sequence of symbols WEB, and one that accepts the sequence of symbols EBAY, and they just kind of put them together with an epsilon transition right back there at the start state. So an epsilon NFA is the same as an NFA, it's just that the alphabet allows you to have an epsilon in it. So they've taken that example of the decimal numbers from the previous slide, and they've written it in table form, and they've shown that all the transitions you can make on an epsilon. Now, then we want to get rid of those transitions. So we do that by talking about the epsilon closure, the E closure. Basically, you can read this definition, but they're trying to say the epsilon closure of a state are all the states you can get to by epsilon transitions. So that's all it is. And they're going to show the epsilon transition here in slide 47. Thank goodness they picked a shorter example. The epsilon closure of state 1 are all the states you can get to from state 1 just by following epsilons. And that's 1 itself, 2, 3, 6, and 4. Now I like to talk about the A closure, if A is a symbol in the alphabet. So if I'm in state 1, the A closure is all the states I can get to by just processing an A. So from state 1, the A closure of 1 is 5, because I have to read the A. But then from 5, for free, I can get to state 7. So I would say that the A closure from state 1 are states 5 and 7. That makes sense? Yeah. Kind of helps you when you're making out these tables. So they go on and they have a recursive definition that I'll let you read. They call it induction definition, but I like the term recursive definition. And they're going to create a DFA from an NFA just by following these links that you can get to with A transitions. So, God, it's such a big one. When you're doing this, it's much better to do this by creating a table. It's easy to see finite automata when you look at the graph, but it's easier to convert from an NFA to a DFA using the table. And so if you had a state Q1, say, and you wanted to put the set of all states you could get to on reading an A, you just follow along until you processed one A, and then just look and see if you can get any further with epsilon transition, and that's the set of states that you can get to. That's actually the end of that chapter.